Well, I'm glad tonight that God's bigger than all my troubles. I'm glad He's big enough to get me up here and help me while I'm here. So I desire your prayers. I'd like to look at a couple verses, one in Matthew, the other in Luke. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Oh, let's see, 11 and 12th verse. Says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Then in Luke 16, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." These two verses, I think, basically are saying the same thing to us, that the way of the gospel, the way of the Lord, is not a passive way. It can't be indifferent. It isn't lethargic. And it can't be lazy. This sounds like motion to me. It sounds like words like violent and force. Sounds passionate. It indicates that there's effort and desire put into it. That if we stop, if we intend to ease our way into it, or glide, or it's going to happen by itself. It's just going to happen that I'll wake up one morning and I'll be made better. I don't believe. I think it would be nice. I've thought this before. I know the Lord's way is right, but there's been times that I've had needs before, and I think it'd be real good if I could pray before I went to bed, and when I woke up in the morning, I'd be made better. I'd be a better person. Well, I see I need some patience, so I pray before I go to bed. When I wake up tomorrow morning, I'm just more patient. The Lord worked in my life through the night while I was sleeping and helped me out. But if you have that experience, I'll listen to your testimony. But I don't have it. That's not the way it's worked in my life. It works by me wanting it more than anything else. And I notice when I don't want it more than anything else, the Lord's got to get me to the place to want it more than I want anything else before He can really work in my heart and life. I don't believe anyone falls into salvation. I don't believe anybody drifts into heaven. I believe it's by a passionate effort and desire of ours. I don't believe we shuck off bad things or gain good things just indifferently. It takes a desire in our hearts to seek God for these things. When we come to the point that we recognize, I've got something in my life unlike Christ. I've got something in my life that makes me dysfunctional to the society around me, to my environment, to my family, to those that are in my life. When I see I'm dysfunctional, I can't work with them, I can't get along with them, when I come to that kind of place and realize I need to be made different than that, and Lord, I want that and start seeking for it, I can get the answer for it. But I don't believe it just falls out of the sky. I don't believe the Lord just... I know God is a supernatural, great God that can do everything. I believe that He has altered people in the plan of salvation, instantly delivering them from their habits, drug addictions, smokings, and all of those things. I believe in deliverance when they come to the point to seek God for it. But it just don't wake up one morning with it. So Lord, help us. I want to lay that as a background, because it is essential to our lives that we build upon our lives. We don't take a life, but we build upon our lives. Now I want to look at a scripture in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, in the 19th verse. The Apostle Paul here is giving some instructions to the folks at Thessalonica, the Thessalonians, and he has given them a number of instructions. And one of the instructions here is, quench not the Spirit. You know, usually automatically I think when we think of that idea of quenching not the Spirit, we probably think of the times we've been in meetings, and you all have probably been there at one time or another. I know I've been in those kind of times, and where the Lord was just really working, and maybe the minister had maybe the songs was going forth, and you could feel the anointing of the Lord in it, and maybe the minister had preached and the conviction falls heavy from the Lord upon the service, and then some well-meaning person stands up and starts telling you about his dog having fleas, or thing way off, and it's kind of like letting the air out of a balloon. It's just kind of, and after a long, long description of something that nobody really knows much about, you could feel that everything's changed. And there is expressions like, that really quenched the Spirit. We have those kind of things. But that's not really what I think he's referring to here. God wants to influence our lives. But he wants to influence you tonight. I'm convinced that God wants to influence you tonight. But that's not it either. The Lord wants to be an influence in your life. The Lord wants to be an influence in your walk of life. In whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever you're saying, He wants His influence in your life. The Spirit influencing you as you make decisions in life and about what you do and how you react to things. He wants to be the major influence in the way we walk life. He wants us to take Him on. But He is a visitor to us. His Spirit, what a wonderful idea that the Lord would allow His Spirit to work in our lives. But you know what, to be honest with you, if I was to come to your house and knock on the door, and you opened the door and said, "Oh, it's you," I'll be honest with you, I would probably be courteous and hang around for long enough to not make it awkward, and then I would probably leave, about as quickly as I could. But I don't really like to be where I'm not wanted. Well, now, if I'm in a place that it doesn't matter about, if the people don't own it and they don't want me there, well, that's different. But when I go to somebody's place, and I get a sense that they are acting like they don't want me there, I really, really don't want to be there. You know what I mean? Don't expect the Spirit to be any different than that. Now, I want to tell you, I appreciate the fact that most places I go, I appreciate the fact that I feel welcomed. It's important. I feel welcomed by the saints. And to be honest with you, your hospitality has been outstanding. Well, we got here, and when we got here, I don't know who did it, but that soup was really good. I've eaten some about every day. The cornbread was excellent. We came, and it was setting there for us. And you get the idea that there's something warm about that. There's something inviting about that, that somebody wants us to stay, and maybe wants us to come back sometime. That there's something valuable here about this. Well, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is that way for us. We should entertain the Spirit in our lives. We really should Lord, we want You to influence our life, and we want to show You by our lives how much we want You there. We're going to make our habitation a habitation that You'll be comfortable with. Well, I want it to be a place that You can be there freely in my life. Not something that is a contradiction about it. I don't like that for my life, and I know the Lord don't like it with His Spirit. He is a gentleman. He will not force His way into your house. He's not going to stay there with you saying, get out. He's not going to say, I never say that. Well, you may not say it, but the writer here was trying to say to these people, don't quench. Quench not the Spirit. Now, the idea comes from this. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is likened to a fire that's to burn with its influences in our life. It's got a number of functions that it does. A fire has a number of things. It gives light, which is understanding. Light, it gives a glow. It gives a warmth. What's that song in our book? 222, I believe it is. Fire in the soul. Do you have the Spirit glowing? Is the love of God burning? There's an influence in there of the Spirit of God in our lives. It consumes. It burns out. It's purifying. There's a work that the Lord wants to have in our lives. And it's like putting out, quench not, is like saying, don't put the fire out. Don't put your fire out. I want to tell you, there's a number of ways of putting a fire out. One of it is you pour water on it. You know, I've seen people try to put people's fire out before. See, I remember years ago, I hope I have the right judgment on this, but I remember because I was very young in the Lord. It's the first time I ever went to Monarch. I went to Monarch, and there was this, I don't even remember who they were now. I just remember there was this older guy there, and he had a cancer on his face. It was obvious he had a cancer on his face. And his other brother was in the men's bathroom, and his other brother said, what's that on your face? And the other brother says, well, I don't know. Guess it's an old cancer. And he said, really? He said, yeah. And he said, that'll kill you. The old brother was like, yeah, it might. It might do it. The Lord knows about it. He can help it. Another guy was like, boy, that looks awful. Well, he was telling the truth, but everything don't need to be said. He was like, he was trying to get the guy down. I said, well, that was an odd way to deal with it. But quench not the Spirit in our own lives. The Lord wants to live in our life. He wants to hang in. There's ways of quenching it. You know, you can put out a fire by throwing dirt on it, smothering it out. We can do this in our own lives with things too. There is two different ideas in this idea of quench not the Spirit. One of them is what we would do. You do purposely. The other is being just indifferent about it. You know, a fire takes fuel. So I want to look at two sides. I want to look at what not to do and what we need to do. There's things we don't need to do. There's things that the Spirit of God will lose the influence of the Spirit of God if we do it. The Spirit of God is not going to dwell in the same house as the filth of this world. We can claim, we can make all the outward claims we want to. We can make the highest of professions that we want to. We can fake out our pastor, our pastor's wife. We can fake out the brother that sits on the seat beside me. We can fake out the neighbors. We can fake out, but you can't fake out the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is going to be quenched by the filth of this world, by the things that He is not comfortable with being with, the things that are not like Him. Lord, help us today, because the Lord is a gentleman. He will not force His way into our life. It's going to take us fighting for that and saying to Him, we welcome you. I'm the host of this house. I'm a guest in God's great universe. But His Spirit is the guest in my heart, because God gave me a will. I can have whoever in there or whatever in there that I choose to, but there's a guest that wants to be there to influence our life as we go along, to help us, to influence us as we choose to do it. He's going to be the influence that goes through our life with us, helping us to obtain it and to do right and to do those things. But we got to want to do it. And this world has so many things that it tries to offer that's going to quench the Spirit in our lives. Now, I remember this story from several years ago, but it was an amazing story to me. It was talking about Queen Elizabeth. It said there was a story about Queen Elizabeth, and she had this setting, and she had these guests there. Well, obviously, this one guest, he didn't know what he was doing there, the protocols of things, and they had these little foods and these little things, and there was a little bowl there that had water in it, and a little napkin, and the water there in this little container was to wash, after you eat the food, you was to wash your fingers in that, and then you had a rag to eat off. Well, listen, I'm from Central West Virginia, and I don't go into which where the fork's at and where the place of this and what plate's this and put your napkin here, put your napkin there. I kind of just lean over my plate and get it in. And I'm just kind of playing when it comes to those kind of things. And if there's important things, and if I sit among dignitaries and people like that, I'd want to know what to do too to keep from embarrassing myself. And I'm afraid I probably wouldn't do a good job. But this guy was kind of like that, it sounded like. So he went through the process, and he hadn't seen anyone do anything up to that point. So there was water there, and so he took it, and he got a drink of his water in there. It was really to wash his fingers with, but he got a drink of the water. But this was what was very touching. They said Queen Elizabeth saw that. Well, I imagine people were starting to smirk about that time. But when Queen Elizabeth saw it, she took her bowl and got her a drink out of her bowl too, because she wanted him not to be embarrassed. This was her world. This is her place. You know what I'm saying? This is where she wanted people to want to be. She wanted grace to abound there. She wanted a sense of belonging there. And she was a very, very graceful person. And so she offered back that little thing, instead of laughing or making fun, as many of us may have done, or maybe not even me, but she had a grace. She was the hostess. And she wanted him to be welcomed. So she offered that to us. Listen, we're the host. We should be saying to the Lord, not that he ever makes a mistake, but we should make our lives in a way that's always fulfilling what the Lord wants in our lives. You can't put bad thoughts in there. Listen to me. I know bad thoughts come, but we can't entertain those things in a heart that the Holy Ghost wants to stay there, in a place that the Spirit of God wants to dwell there. We're going to have to make it welcome, because for a while he's going to start feeling uncomfortable, because his Spirit's clashing with the Spirit that's trying to get there and work in our lives. When we start talking evil of our brother, the Spirit isn't going to be comfortable in a place where we're talking that way, because he's going to talk graciously. He's going to go beyond it to talk gracious to those. He's not going to run people down or talk evil about his brother. There's things that we can do that's going to hinder the work of God. So the writer says, quench not the Spirit of God. Don't put the fire of the Lord out by the worldly activities and thoughts and minds of the flesh and carnalities. Because it don't dwell together. You know the Spirit of God is not vain. He's not vain. He don't work in vain ways. There's nothing empty or purposeless about the Spirit of God. And vanities are contradictory to Him. He's purposed in His workings. And the envies and the jealousies and the high purposes of the flesh that people can have of obtaining and get on those things are contradictory to the Spirit that wants to burn in our lives and influence our lives. You know what the awful truth is that if we offend away the Spirit, we will become hardened. You know, you can be religious. You can keep your religion without keeping the Spirit. You can quench the Spirit of the Lord and still have plenty of religion. So I want to warn us just that, or encourage us to make a habitation that the Lord would be pleased with in our lives. And when we look and we start leaning towards that, we all have a fashion of sorts. There isn't a great diversity here, but we all have different styles of the way we do things. I comb my hair one way, and before long I won't be combing it at all, but I'm doing it one way, you do it another, and I wear a certain way of dress, you have another, and that's all fine and well, as long as it's accommodating to our great guest. And it's okay, and it's not a contradiction in our hearts when we start wanting to promote the flesh. Now, if I come in here with my shirt sleeves rolled up, kind of doing this kind of stuff, and now listen, you've seen it as well as I have, this kind of stuff, then you would probably be able to say there's a contradiction going on inside here. Because I'm trying to show something of the flesh, and that's not what the Holy Ghost is about. That's all the Spirit of God is trying to do in our lives. He's portraying humility. He's trying to portray in us a love for one another. And a humility before God. Not that this flesh is important, but that the Spirit is important. Thus the Word goes on to instruct women. That they be women that professing godliness, not adorning themselves with things. Because that, and listen, that's contradictory. Some people say, it's simply saying that you don't have much. No, it's saying that there's a contradiction between the two. There's a contradiction between having attention to the flesh to that point and to the godliness that you want to represent. Because we want to make a habitation and not quench the Spirit that wants to lead us in our lives. That wants to influence. He wants to be an influence in our lives. We want Him to be an influence in our lives. Because we greatly need Him to be an influence in our lives. So there is that aspect. There is the aspect that we can do things that would quench the Spirit in our lives. We can pour water on Him. We can have... Listen, I deal with a fire alarm. West Virginia is cold up there. I burn wood for heat. And so I deal with... I have a cabin that I have a wood stove in. I got a wood fireplace. And I have a wood heating stove. So I burn... the chapel has an outside wood stove. I deal with wood fires regularly. And they need... If you're going to keep the fire going... periodically, you're going to have to put more fuel in it. You're going to have... Listen, it don't happen by itself. It's not indifferent. It just doesn't show up. It'll burn for a while. It'll do great. And then at one point you look and say, I'm done. It's getting cold in here. And the colder it is, the quicker it happens. The more fuel I've got to put in, the colder the days get. Do you know where iniquity abounded, the love of many waxed cold? What, because of this sin-sick world that has its influences in people's lives, the love of many waxed cold. It'll wax cold in us too, but we need to take a certain effort in our lives to keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning in your life. Keep the Spirit glowing in your life. And it's going to take some things. It's going to take a spiritual mind. It's going to take an effort in this thing. It's going to take... We've got wonderful songs that was written some years ago, some modern. All these songs, many of these songs, they're inspirational. They're things that we should use. If we need more fuel, the Word of God is the fuel that we need to... We need to put in our lives more. We need to make sure that we have an attention on that thing. I don't want my fire. I'm going to have to stir it. I'm going to have to keep it going. I have to put some more wood in it. I'm going to have to choke it down. Listen, if you want it to die down, you choke it down. You choke the air off of it. You can have all the fuel and you can have the potential of heat, but if you choke it down, the old devil's trying to choke it down. Keep it choked down. You want the heat? You open it up wide. You let the air flow through it. You put things in there that's combustible. There's things that will burn, but it just kind of smolders. And it don't put out much heat. It reminds me of experiences. I think there's all kinds of experiences. There's experiences that's totally quenched the Spirit of God. There is experience that the Lord talked about that he wouldn't break a bruised reed and he wouldn't quench a smoking flax. He wouldn't put it out there. But there's a potential. It can get going again. But boy, there ain't much there. There's those experiences. You might recognize tonight that you're in one of those places. Maybe you would say, well, I feel like I still got some fire, but it sure has not been burning very much. And I notice at home, if you don't, yeah, I can have a pretty good fire in there, and I come along and it's snowed hard and been raining and snowing and wood's been out in the wet and moist, all that stuff, and I bring it in and I chunk it in the stove and put it in there, and then a little bit of it, but it's still not warm. Why isn't it warm? Well, it's got to, that's going to have to burn that stuff out of there before it's ever going to produce anything. Sometimes it takes some time. You're going to have to open the stove wide open. You're going to have to work with it. Sometimes I've got to get the poker in there, stir it around, get the coals, get some air in there, and get it working sometimes. Sometimes of years of serving the Lord, just because of it's the way and nature of time, it'll wear us down sometimes. And sometimes our experience will start getting stale. And there isn't much coming out of there. And if we're not careful, we'll allow one event to not be taken, really take care of the events that happen in life. Maybe I've had a disagreement with someone and it didn't go well. And maybe I said something I shouldn't have said. And maybe I let that carry on. And maybe I kept it in my heart. And those kind of things. Folks, I'm going to tell you that the Spirit of God can be quenched in our lives. And when we get through at the final end of that quenching of that spirit, we're going to be leftist religious, but we're not going to have anything real in our lives anymore. We're not going to have the love of God. Really, get down to the bottom basics of it. Ask yourself this question: where is my love of God? Because if I have the love of God in my heart, that means God is supreme, and I love my fellow man as myself. And care for it. And do I have that part of my gauge that I can look at and say, yes, I love the Lord. You know, there's gauges in the Bible. Sure, there's gauges. There's one that says that Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. That's a gauge. Are you keeping His commandments? Well, if He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, you're not keeping His commandments, do you love Him? Or you say, well, I keep most of them. Or I'm struggling to keep them. I'm not keeping them with joyful heart. There's a gauge there that's saying right where you're at. You know, the Scripture also says that they looked and said that they knew that they had been with the Lord. And they had love one to another. If you've been with the Lord, you know the Lord. If you're saved, you'll have love one to another that all men may know that you're my disciples because you have love one to another. Are we honest enough tonight to look at ourselves and say,
we have love one to another. And my gauge is up on full. And yeah, there's been some difficulties. There's been some problems. There's been some things in my life. And sure, my gauge is still up there. I love the Lord and I love my fellow man. And that's where I'm at with this thing. And I got a fire burning. And I've been taking care of the Spirit of the Lord in my life. Because He can be grieved. And I'm going to tell you, some of the things grieves is the Spirit of God out of our lives. And that's not getting along with one another. Right? I can't make you like me. I can't make you have appreciation for me. I can't do any of that. But you shouldn't be able to make me not appreciate you. Make you valuable. Make you what God... You shouldn't be able to do that to me. Lord, help us. We get down to it. The writer said something, very few words here. Quench not the Spirit. But boy, there's a lot in there. There's a lot not to do. And there's a lot that we need to do. We need to be diligent. I like to be honest with myself. I like to try to encourage others to be honest with themselves too. And I've told the Lord many years ago, you save me. You save me and I'll live for you and do what you want me to do. And He kept His end of the bargain. And now I've got to do mine. I got to do what you want me to do. Now, I didn't know when I said that, Sister Roberta, that he was someday going to say, I want you to minister. I didn't know that, but it didn't matter because when that come along, I'd already told him that. And so now it's time to fulfill that end of it, of what I need to do with my life and keep my end of it in the Lord. The Lord wants us to be able to be prosperous and work for Him and do those kind of things. And that's what the Lord wants you and I to do. And we can quench the Spirit. I made that deal with Him. He's kept His end. And now I need help to keep mine. That I'd be faithful to be able to do those things. Over in another scripture, over in 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 1:6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of the hands. But he said that thou stir up the gift of God. And again, the idea is still the same. There's something there. But stir it up. Stir it up in your own hearts and lives. Take care of the things in your life that needs took care of. Because when I get in there and start stirring sometimes in my fire, I have to ask myself a question sometimes. Why ain't this burning? What's wrong with this situation here? And sometimes I've got to go to a more combustible source. Sometimes what I got, there's not enough heat left there to be able to burn something. There's a rule in this. It takes a big fire to burn big wood. You can burn little wood on a little fire. But if you're going to burn big wood, you need big fire. And there's sometimes I ain't got enough fire left in there to get it going. And I need something more combustible. So I reach for something that's explosive. I reach for something that's going to burn quicker and hot quick. And I reach for the lighter fluid. Or I reach for something that's going to burn and get in there and get it going again. Stir it up, is what he told him. Stir up that gift that's in you. Work with this thing. You're not going to make heaven by laying around. If you've got animosity in your heart, the Spirit of God's going to be quenched. We depend on Him for everything in the spiritual life. And He's going to be quenched. That root of bitterness that's springing up that defiles many, you leave that root of bitterness in there, the Spirit's not going to stay there. He's going to be quenched. And then we're going to be left as hollow, empty shells. We're not interested in being a church of hollow, empty shells. We want the reality of it. Folks, it's worth it to have the Lord lead us and guide us and help us in our life, that we can have a full assurance that we've come down to ask the Lord for something that's in full accordance with the Spirit of God. But not if we have worldly ideas, worldly concepts, with our brother, bitternesses, envies, jealousies. I knew some folks up where I grew up that they said, I wish that our neighbors would quit buying things we can't afford. They was a keep up with the Joneses people, and if their neighbors, I don't know what made them that way altogether, but it was just jealousy, I suppose. But the neighbors would go buy them a new vehicle, and the next day they were shopping. Well, they had to go and see it. And finally, the neighbors got them this great big swimming pool project and built them a big pool over there. I'd had them, and said, oh, he said, I wish they'd quit doing that. I tell you something's better. How about entertaining the Spirit of the Lord in your life? And you know what you can do? I know you can do it. You can say, praise the Lord. Lord, bless my neighbors real good. I'll tell you my attitude about it is, I'd say, bless them real good, and they'll invite me over to swim. I take this thing personal, folks. I take it personal. I told some folks down there in Dallas, I'll tell you all the same thing. And being here proves it. I hope the Lord blesses you all so wonderful. I hope you have so much. I hope the Lord just brings riches upon riches on you. Because wherever I go, I just partake of it with you. I get to come down here and stay in a wonderful place and a nice bed with nice showers and a warm, comfortable place. And I go all over the country doing that, and I don't pay any of the taxes. I don't pay any taxes. I don't have to upkeep it. Somebody will even take the trash out when we leave. I mean, why is it? It's personal. The Scripture says that I'll get a hundredfold in this life and life eternal. I'll have brothers and sisters and all that. Why would I be envious of my brother? I'll have to ask you. Why would you be envious of your brother? Say, I'll tell you what the Spirit in you ought to be saying. This is the way the Lord wants to lead us. Bless my brother. Bless them real good. But it isn't the way of the flesh. The flesh looks and says, why do they get that and me not? Or if it gets too much, there'll be this inclination that somebody will come along and say, yeah, you see what they're doing? And there'll be this, no, that ain't nothing. That lab just, they don't even need that. I don't know why, they're just wasting money. They're frivolous is what they are. It's a bad attitude. And you know, really, it's not just in the services, or it wasn't in the services at all, that this Scripture really applies. It's in our hearts. Where we quench that loving, kind, merciful Spirit that gives us such opportunity and hope and chance of eternal life. The mercy that I have received from this Spirit is unbelievable. The blessings that it's brought into my life is beyond all. Then why would I begrudge my brother? Why would I run my brother down? But instead, the Spirit in there is saying, bless him. So much so that it goes beyond the brother. It actually goes into, see, we all have categories that we're in. Some of you I don't know well. That's your category right now. But some of you are closer to me. But right now, you're in a category of my brethren. But there's categories of friends. There's enemies. You know that I'm supposed to be a friend, and I have friends, but I have enemies too. The Bible didn't say you go without enemies. It just tells you what to do with them. I got to categorize them. There's times that I categorize. There's been times that I had people in the friend category and found out that they was an enemy. Well, there ain't a lot of difference between the two. You got to love your enemies too. There is a difference, but there ain't a lot of difference in the sense that I don't buddy around with enemies. I don't go around, you know, chumming around with them. But I got to love them. I got to, you know, the enemies, I got to have the same spirit, the spirit in me that wants them to prosper. I don't want my enemies to get cancer and die. I don't want them to get hit by a car. I don't want bad things after. I don't want poverty to come on them.
I want them to be blessed. I want them to find salvation. You can quench the spirit. Lord, help us. That we cater to the Spirit of God what He wants of our life. That's what we want because we want Him precious in our life. Leading and guiding and directing our lives.
Yes.
And helping us in the places where we have need. And that Spirit wants to be the major influence in our lives. You know, I like my family getting this too. I like going around to talk to people. I like to go around and I'll just say, how you doing? You having a good day? You working hard? I say, oh, I do today. I say it with lovely people. And you know, people respond back a lot of times. Recently, one person just said, I said, well, how you doing? You having a good day? And it was at McDonald's. This girl said, well, I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. Just asking people. And I went into the store over here today, and there was a one. I don't know if this has ever happened. All the time I've ever done this, but I walked in, and before I could say hello, she had looked at me, started saying, and she said, well, hello, how are you doing today? She said, done it just like I done it. And I was like, well, that was, you know, there's something nice about that. It was very inviting. It was like, it's okay for you to be here. And you're all right. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're saying to the Spirit of the Lord. When we have something set out for Him, when we're making Him welcome in our hearts and lives, that He could lead and guide and help us in the directions of our life. Because, see, it's more, what we're talking about tonight is more than what most people ever think about in religion. We're not talking about the fact that we're going to have a revival once a year for a few days. Or we're going to all meet on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, and not so much on Sunday nights for everybody, but then on Wednesday, but not so much for everybody on Wednesday nights because it's not really all that important. And that. But wait a minute. Are we trying to say something here? Understand what I'm saying? Listen, I'm not putting bondage on anybody. I know there's times that people, there's times that it's wiser. I know there's times, I know that. But I also know that this is a hard issue, folks. And I also know I've been in those kind of places. Now, I like telling this story. You probably heard it, many of you have. But it's a story that taught me something. Years ago, it was my first wife, and we hadn't been married long. And I come home from work, and my wife said, I want to go see my mother. And I said, I have worked all day and I don't want to go to mom's. And she's like, well, I've been here all day and I want to go to mom's. All right, here's the conflict. Well, at the time, I happened to have this little dog that I was training to be a squirrel dog. And everybody that does this knows that when you're training a dog, and he does his job, and he trees, you got to be a good master and go to the tree because that's what the dog's saying. He's saying, he's barking, saying, I got one, come up. Well, I lived, there was a big mountain right behind my house, and about the time this conversation got to the highest level, the dog starts barking. I'm so tired. I told her I've worked. I'm so tired. I'm just going, I don't feel like doing nothing. And the dog starts barking. Well, honestly, this is the truth. If we can be true, the truth was I had no passion or desire to go to mother-in-law's. I had a lot of passion and desire to train that dog. I went up the hill to the dog, steep hill. I wasn't as tired as I thought I was. No, I wasn't as tired as I said I was. And when I come back, I went to mother-in-law's. But it taught me something. There's things sometimes that we're not saying right. There's things that we're not getting right. Now, there's nobody can force anybody to do anything serving the Lord. But if we're going to entertain the Spirit and not quench the Spirit, You're going to have to put off those kind of things. He knows why you're not going to service. I don't know why you don't go. I don't know why the folks up home don't go. It ain't my business to know. Don't want to know. I don't know. I pray for it, but I go. I know what I told the Lord. I told the Lord a long time ago. When I got saved, I said, Lord, by your grace, I'm going to go. I want to go. I want the passion to go. But I go when I don't feel like it. Because I back it up with a commitment. I want passion backed by commitment. I committed to the Lord that I'll do what you want me to do. I know you want me to do it. And if I don't feel like it, I'll back it up with the commitment that I made. And the Lord blesses that too. But I want to go one step farther. It's not just religion. It's not a name on a book somewhere. It's not being just approved of one another. Or thought of as being a good brother or something like that. It's being able to entertain the Spirit of God in my heart till He's pleased to be there. Till He wants to be there because I'm the true thing. I'm the real thing. And He's there because of that. And He'll dwell in a heart like that. So, when it comes down to these things, I can't say who, what, but the Lord can. So our commitments to the Lord is the fuel for this fire that continues to burn. You say, well, my fire ain't burning hot. Commit that thing. Sanctify. Get it sanctified. Give it to the Lord. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. But you do what? What is it? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is an outstanding service. Now it is reasonable. It's the reasonable service for what He was, but we present ourselves to the Lord. Make it, well, clean it up. Lord, I want you in here. So I'm going to do what you like. Somebody asked me one time at a place we went, and they said something about what we eat. Well, I like fried potatoes in the morning, eggs, that thing. Got up the next morning and had fried potatoes. I thought, they want me here. They want to make it as nice as they can make it here for me. I follow the rule Brother Sammons laid for me a long time ago. He said, you leave when they want you to stay, because if you stay till they want you to leave, you've stayed too long. And I always keep that as a mind. I want to leave while everybody's saying, you offer money, you ought to stay. You wish you could stick around. Yeah, I know, but it's time to go. Lord willing, we can come back, but we want to go. We want to be made. There's been places. I called somebody one time with a burden on my heart. And said, I feel like the Lord would burden me to come. Hold a meeting for you. And the brother said, well, he said, we believe in having meetings. But he said, I'll just be honest with you. I'd have to talk to you a little while and straighten get some things straight before you come. Well, that pretty well answered that. That pretty well answered that for me. Because I knew what that meant. That was a gracious way of saying, you're not welcome. I have never got any bitterness or anything about it. I simply said to the Lord, Lord, I commit the burden you give me to Him. It's His burden. You lay it on Him, and I'll be glad to go. That's where I had to leave it. It was many years ago. But that's the way it was. But there was no welcoming. We want to welcome that precious Spirit of the Lord in our lives to lead and guide and direct our lives, that we can be found in favor of Him when it comes to the end of the way, that the Spirit is what we have. You know, that's what we need. You can't change one thing about your life. You can only have the desire to. When you have the desire to do it, the Spirit can do it. When you have a desire that you've got something in your heart against your brother and you want it fixed, brother, He can fix it. You hang on to it, and there won't be room in your there won't be enough room in your heart for that Spirit and the Spirit that's working in you. So He said to Timothy, stir up that gift in you. Stir it up. Get it going. You've been kind of burning slow. That's what revival's about. Get you revived. Get the fire going back in your soul. Did you once have more burden for the lost than you have now? A burden for the lost is a direct gauge of the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God has a concern for the lost. So you can say, how much burden do I have for the lost? How much care do I have for people that's losing their soul eternally? How much care do I have? Because we're in a very numbing down time. Lord help us. But it's a good gauge. Oh, not some years ago, I remember I used to go to service and the singing would start and I would just burn. Oh, the Lord would just bless me. I just burn inside of me. Just, oh. And I got to a place one time, I don't know if I go to service again. I got to go to service. Got to go to service. My children sometimes would say, hey, we got to go to service. No, we get to. You used to always tell them, well, now I'm struggling. I'm saying, I'm going because I've just gotten up. Well, I got a commitment, so I go. But I don't let the commitment stand like that. No, I want to go because I love God and I want to go and get what He's got for me. I want to do it with passion. I want it to be meaningful. I want to love to go. Folks, let me warn you against our present world. All the entertainments and all the commotions and all the gadgets and all of that makes it hard sometimes to set down. Put it aside and give full attention. And because there's a challenge of the heart many times and that becomes something that is so favorable and enjoyable and want to do it, that there's a conflict. And it's going to be a good gauge. When you're sitting there in service saying, I wish I could be texting, I wish I could be doing, I wish I could be doing this, stir up the fire. Ask the Lord to give you the fire back there. Lord, I want You to be the center of my affections. I want You in my heart. I want to read one more scripture. It's over in 5th chapter of Galatians. Verse 15 says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, that's a definite. If you walk in the Spirit, of course it's true because they're complete opposites. If you walk in the Spirit, you can't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. They are totally opposite with one another. When we are in the mode of doing the things of the flesh, we cannot take care of the things of the Spirit and both ways. And so, He said, quench not the Spirit. If I come to your house and knock on the door and you don't answer, or I hear a little rumbling in there, or I see the curtain come open, maybe in that, and I pound on there. I'm not going to stand and knock too often or hit the doorbell too much longer. I'm going to conclude, you don't want me there. Now, you can do whatever you want to. But if I call you, and you don't answer the phone, you may just be out. And if I call you enough and you don't answer the call, my call, I'm going to wait for you to call me. You know, that's the way the Lord is.
Amen.
You can quench the Spirit of God. You can't do everything in this flesh and expect to have the Lord too. You can't listen to the filth of this world. I one time, just as a study, I went to the library. I got on the internet and I typed in there a country music hits. And most of the 75 titles came up of number one hits over the years, and a lot of them's names was embarrassing. A lot of the very titles of the songs wasn't, you shouldn't have mentioned them. I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think that the Spirit of the Lord would be pleased with that? No. Of course not. It's unholy. It's unrighteous. It isn't in the favor of what the Lord's trying to lead in our lives. And I'm saying that is mild compared to some of the things that are out in the world. You can't go everywhere that the press drags you. You can't go watch everything that your eyes tantalize by and expect to have the Spirit glowing in your heart. Because He simply won't stay. And He won't be an influence in your life. He won't be the one that's directing our minds and our hearts to go and to do and to these things. He wants to, but He won't be able to do it because He'll be quenched. The fire can burn low. I believe there's this experience. I really do. I believe there's an experience to where, I believe this. I believe that there's a given here. If I can quench it, then I must be able to stoke it. You understand what I'm saying? If I've got the ability to make it less, then it by suggestion means that I can make it burn brighter. But by doing the opposite. Instead of throwing dirt on it, throwing the world on it, I'm going to give more direct diligence to the things of God. And it will burn brighter. Instead of singing the worldly songs that will quench it, I'm going to sing praises to God of a full heart. It'll stoke it up. It'll get it more active than ever. I'm going to sing those things that's good. Instead of thinking on things that are questionable, I'm going to think on things that's lovely, that's pure, and of good report. I'm going to keep my mind on the good things and on the right things. And if I can kill it, if I can quench it, then I can stoke it to its maximum fire. Put dry wood on there. Put dry things. Put things that's combustible. Put the things in there that can burn. Oh, I want to tell you, the Lord wants something for us in 2000. I want to tell you, it's a challenge. Every age has had its challenge. We have a challenge. Lethargy is our challenge now. Indifference is our challenge. We've got a technological world that's easing in, making things so available. Listen, I'm not against it. I think it can be sanctified like everything else does. It's a tool. But it's a dangerous tool. I'm talking to a young man that had some troubles. He had some troubles over the devices, getting on things he shouldn't have seen things. He was bothered by it. He come to the altar to straighten it up. And I said, you need to change your environment as much as you can. You need to take it. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. I said, where do you most commonly get falls into temptation? He jerked his phone out and said, brother, I can do it right here. Right here. Right here. It's that easy. And I said, well, brother, you better get a good hold of the Lord. He said, I got to have it for my job. You better get really a hold of the Lord for a special grace and power of His Spirit to overcome those things. If it's that prevalent, we're going to need power, folks. And if we start quenching it, Maybe everybody else won't, but I'm going to tell you, you can become an empty, hollow, burnout shell with no fire burning in there at all, still saying, I'm religious. I have to change my address. I don't have to change going to service. I don't have to change those kind of things. But after a while, all of that starts showing up. Lord, help us tonight to welcome His great Spirit. You pray for me.